Yeah, obviously you've got the squads, so two big games coming out of the con. Obviously the Wolfhounds game for the Saxons and obviously our game in Wales. And you're obviously looking forward to getting going. Big European weekend this weekend. So we'll assess the injuries after this week. Fingers crossed there are no further changes. And we'll look forward to getting the lads into camp. We're going to train Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday next week. Obviously we've got the Saxons game Friday night. And then it'll build up for the Wales game in Cardiff, which we're really looking forward to.
Stuart, Nick Easter and Danny Cipriani, why is this the right time for them? And how realistic are the prospects of them both getting close to a match day 23?
Well, yeah, just on Danny first. I mean, he's not been far away at all, obviously, for from the New Zealand tour. He came on the tour. He came into camp in August. And obviously, when it came down to that that squad, initial squad selection for the Autumn Internationals, we felt Steve Marlow just had the edge on him. As a consequence of the way the EPS agreement works, we couldn't find an opportunity to come into camp. But since then, he's improved his game. He's worked hard. And we want to create the opportunity for him and Steve to come in together. Obviously, we've got Owen and George as well. We've got big games at the weekend with both Bath and Saracens playing on Sunday. And that is a bearing it, but equally, just a good chance for Danny to come in and put a marker down. Nick's obviously slightly different, you know, not been involved with me since I started. And I think now, particularly with Ben Morgan's injury, the need for specialist number eights in your squad, you know, Billy Vunipolo I thought was outstanding at the weekend, you know, the best game we've seen him play in a long time. And but we need the two specialist number eights, and Nick, to be fair, has been outstanding and deserves his opportunity to come in and prove that he can replicate that back at international level. So both are in the mix. You know, in regard to the 10 slot, you know, George and Owen both played extremely well at the weekend. So, we'll see where we go.
What have they both got to do then? Just impress you with training? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, we very much base a lot of our decisions on the training. You know, we've got a very competitive squad. If you took Loosehead as an example, you know, you've got Alex Cubicero, Macavonopoulou, Joe Marler now. And, you know, there's no definitive decision about who's going to start and who's going to bench been made, because we've got that two-week period to prepare. You know, we're 2 weeks away from naming the side that will play against Wales, and we'll use that time wisely.
So just ask, who called Nick Easter up, the three of you, and what was his reaction? Did he believe it this time?
No, it was me. It was me. I mean, you know, it was a conversation initially, obviously, I have with Harlequins and Connor, who I know well, and I know he obviously speaks highly of Nick and the impact he's made over the last couple of years. You know, we've always kept an eye on what he's been doing, and spoke to Chris Robshaw and Joe Marler, obviously England captain and his club captain, over the time. But for me, obviously, it was a phone call initially, and obviously then a meeting. I met him one-to-one, made a good chat, and we'll go from there.
This might be one that Andy might want to take. Manu Tuilagi, how much of a concern is his ongoing injury problem? And have you even thought we better have a plan B if he's not available for the World Cup? Is it possible?
I wouldn't say it's a concern. He's a young lad that's had a few niddles, and he would have liked to have played in a few more Test matches than he has done over the last year, but. He's a young lad, and like all young lads, they come bouncing back. You know, his priority is just to make sure that he gets fit, fully fit, 100% fit, so that these problems don't continue. It gives other people opportunities, like it did in the Six Nations last year, and we flourished throughout that Six Nations and had a good competition last year. So it's another opportunity for some lads to gain some more experience, etc. And we want a fully fit Manu Tuilagi, 100% fit, so he can be firing on all cylinders, and I'm sure that'll be the case come World Cup time.
There's talk about Sam Burgess playing against the Irish Wolfhounds week on Friday. Are you pleased with the progress he's made so far, Andy, and how excited are you at that prospect?
Yeah, pleased with the progress, certainly. He's picked up a lot of things over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and I think the more game time that he has, the better he gets. He's played a few Air League games and sorted a few things out in those games as far as the breakdowns concerned, etc. And his last performance was outstanding, wasn't it? You know, so look, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. He will have great games in the next couple of months. he'll also have a few games where he makes a few errors. So I think good and bad is good for him at this moment in time, because it is a steep learning curve. But for him to be involved in the Saxons is great for him, because at this moment in time all he knows is club rugby, to get together with a lot of different lads and see different ways that they play is going to be important for him in his progression.
Great. Ben Morgan out, probably the best player in the Autumn Series, both first choice second rowers, missing two, but to be so much of a concern, there's a lot of strength in depth, there's a lot of talent in that team forward.
It certainly is. Stuart's alluded to the problems they're going to have picking two from the three loose heads. But the second row was delighted with the input of George Cruz when he came in. Graham Kitchener has come in. He's playing exceptionally well for his club at the moment. And luckily we've got Jeff Parling, who's a British line back, and Dave Atwood. So we've got plenty of experience. And you know, one thing we're not mentioning about Nick Easter is the experience he'll bring coming into that group and what he'll be able to pass on to those younger players.
You're fine for me. I mean, people have been demanding in the press already, it's got to be a Grand Slam, it was a World Cup year. But when the players get together, when you speak to them first, what are you going to say to them about these expectations and how to manage them and how to go forward in this competition?
I think the way to deal with expectation and pressure is to get your job right and to get the detail right and the preparation right. As I say, we've watched all the games. It was a great weekend in Europe for our English clubs. I thought the top teams really turned up and delivered. So clearly, there are a lot of good players in form, but we've got to get that group together now and get them into their England mode and get that preparation and detail right going into the Wales game, because that's where you can focus your attention. You can't control the outcome. You can't control the Grand Slams. You can't control World Cups. What you can control is your preparation, and that's what we've got to get right.
Stuart, you know.
Well, obviously, there's a pecking order that's in existence, if you like, from the Autumn Series. Our last game was against Australia. We played pretty well. George played really well that game, and I think he's continued that. Obviously, Owen has come back and played well for his club. But all things are open, really. You know, Steve and Danny have both got opportunities to come in and prove that they should be number one. You know, we're very open-minded about the whole thing. The reality of the situation, the same is true of scrum halves. If you took Ben Youngs, Lee Dixon, Richard Wigglesworth, Danny Kerr, you know, there's four scrum halves there who we'd probably all trust to start the test. As it happens, Lee will captain the Saxon side. I'm sure he'll do that really well. We'll take up probably all four into the World Cup camp and these four fly halves, you know, and there might be one or two others who will be figuring in that World Cup camp also. So there's plenty to play for.
And in terms of the squad being a training squad to face Wales, when do you believe that the door should start to close on your squad to provide that inner sanctum that a lot of successful teams seem to have in that build-up to a World Cup?
Well, I think we're nearly there, really. I mean, you know, there's not been a huge difference in this squad from the previous squads, if I'm being honest. Injuries play their part in terms of the changes that you make. But, you know, when I went through the actual EPS situation and had to change it, there are actually very few changes in the seniors in the Saxon squad. You know, a lot of familiar faces. We have had a disappointing, unfortunate time with injuries in the autumn. And, you know, if you take some of the front row lads who did extremely well for us in the autumn, those lads have dropped out, a Matt Mullen, a Rob Webber, a Kieran Brooks. But we've replaced them with the likes of Dan Cole, Tom Youngs, Makavunapola, and Scobicera. So there has been a change, but it's not by design, really. It's been by, you know, injuries, really, on anything else.
Stuart, can you just explain the wording over the name of the squad? It's not an EPS squad, it's a training squad. So what's the significance of that?
Well, I mean, if I've tried to go through the whole minutiae of the EPS senior squad and the Saxon squad and tried to explain it, we would have had Courtney Laws named in the squad that you've got there. We would have had Joe Launch being named in it, because the reality is those lads are going to come back in the equation. But for the public to understand it, all they need to know really who's available now and what's the squad. So that's why we've gone for these are the squads, you know, because we've got an EPS Saxon squad as well, but I won't bore you with the complications.
And regarding the Saxons, no kind of out-and-out tens name, you've got the votes on slate clearly, but does it mean that Cipriani will play the Saxons against the Wolfhounds on that basis?
No. I mean, Slade isn't out-and-out ten. Well, he's obviously played in the centre for Exeter, we played at 10 at the weekend. He's come through as a 10. And my understanding, I think Rob's going to play him at 10 again this weekend. So, you know, Slade is there as the starting 10 for that game. And Devoto will be in the squad, probably on the bench. We've still got to finalise that selection after the weekend. And he'll then cover that if needs be.
So in terms of Danny, this was potentially someone saying that David Kirkman's going to come down as in career, talk of France and what he might do. Is this the last chance for him to resurrect that? One more last chance?
No. I mean, I don't see where this last chance thing has come from, to be honest, because, you know, from my point of view, we brought him into the New Zealand tour and he benched in the first test. Obviously, we had lads who were unavailable because of the Premiership final. He played in the Crusaders game. He's been involved in the third test. He came in the August training camp. We've got a whole Six Nations period to go and we've got a World Cup camp to go and he's 27 years old. I mean, you know, he's the same age as a lot of our lads. They've all come through together and, you know, I see Danny being around for hopefully the next 2, 3, 4 years. And so the battle continues to who's going to get that shirt. But it'll come down ultimately not to previous reputation or what people have done in the past, it'll come down to who's delivering week in, week out for their clubs, and that's how we'll judge it. You know, we watch, as coaches, we watch every Premiership game every week. We've got no bias one way or another, but we select on what we see and what we know about the players, and Danny will be in the mix like everyone else.
Just in terms of, I mean, this is one of the biggest press conferences you've had in a while, it's the year that it's all happening. Does it feel different? Is the pressure getting there?
No, I think the pressure's always been there. The responsibility, the expectation is always there. But yeah, you know, you do get a sense, certainly when the clock ticked to 2015, you know the countdown has begun, there's no doubt about it, because, you know, Wales first up Friday night in the Millennium Stadium, the fact we play them in the World Cup, you know, it sets it up for a big 2 weeks leading into this game. But the Six Nations itself is a huge tournament, and with scheduling of Italy at home and then Ireland away. You know, we've got two big games to come there after Wales, but it'll all boil down to the Wales game, nothing having to do with the World Cup.
Just